Welcome to A Flock of Donkeys with your host, Adam Emmert.
And, you know,
And Jared Tim.
I'm going to say right now, I disagree with it, but it's really accurate.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to A Flock of Donkeys, your Seahawks and Broncos podcast. Coming at you today from a smoky Missoula, Montana. Good God, it's horrible out there. This is the podcast where we practice the three S's, Jared. We smoke, speak, and swear. Mm-hmm. I'm your co-host, Adam Emmert. Sitting next to me, the man I just mentioned, Jared Tim. How are you today, buddy?
Good.
Yeah, just good. All right, good. That's all I need to hear. All right.
I'm just trying to make things awkward. You know, I was on my way over here, I was thinking about it. I was like, you know, for two guys who just sit around and bullshit for an hour and 15 minutes,
yeah,
there's none of that awkward silence and weird shit, so I'm trying to throw that in.
Oh, thanks for the awkward tension. I need a little more of that in my life. I don't get enough of that on an average date. Like,
I just want some of that. I just want it. I don't know
why.
It didn't work, did it?
No, it didn't. I've just breezed right through that shit.
Well, one time.
One thing that does ease awkward tension, though, is beer. And one of the beers that we're drinking today, and you'll get a little more about this beer in the middle of the podcast, is the Dead Guy Ale from Rogue. Rogue Brewery, which is based out of Newport, Oregon. So check us out in the middle of the podcast. This beer is badass. It's super tasty.
We're kind of the authority on beer, so.
Exactly. Oh, yeah, without question. We're practiced enough. So today, Jared, what we're going to do is we're going to talk a little bit about both the Seahawks and Broncos in the first segment regarding injuries and the things that have been going on.
Yeah, there's been a lot of injury updates, suspension updates, all sorts of shit going on.
All sorts of shit.
Training camps underway.
And then secondly, we're going to go over our picks for each division. It's kind of a state of the NFL. And the idea is that we want to get those picks out early in the year so that we're down on paper.
Yeah.
So when our official predictions
mark
come
our
through,
words.
Because they're fucking right.
And this is where Adam and I will really disagree on a lot of shit. So come the end of the season, we're going to see who was right and who was wrong. It's all about bragging rights for us. Just, you know.
Oh, you need to wait to see? Because I already know.
Oh, fuck.
I'm right on this one. So anyways, check that out in the last segment here. So first off, Jared, let's get into some Broncos news here. It's been eventful.
Okay.
It's been eventful.
It's been really eventful. You know, the main thing that I'm actually happy about right now is what they're talking about as far as the Von Miller suspension. So it's come out now that it's not even drug related whatsoever, recreational or performance enhancing drugs.
What does that mean then? Why would they be suspending him if it's not PEDs and it's not drug related?
There's a couple of speculations, and one of the main ones that a couple of people have thrown out there.
Did he drown a kitten? Like, what did he do?
Well, and this was on the Mile High Report too, and also the Denver Post, that they're thinking what might have happened. And if this is the case, it's going to be ridiculous for Roger Goodell to try and uphold this suspension. So one thing they think that happened was that he missed a piss test because he was on the USO tour. Good luck trying to suspend a player for missing a piss test because he's overseas with the troops.
Look, Jared.
You think that's going
to
happen?
I mean, you go over there, you're trying to help the troops out, you know, lift spirits. Whatever, dude. You got to put guys on the side, and you got to get back here and piss in a cup. Like, priorities. Okay?
See, and I don't even know if this is the case, but at this point, there's nothing else coming out. It's not drug-related. What could it really be? And so there's all sorts of speculation. So it's he said, she said, but there's been a lot of people who don't even think the suspension's going to be withheld or upheld. I'm happy about that. I'm happy it's not drugs. You know, when it first came out that it wasn't performance-enhancing drugs, I was happy he wasn't a cheater.
Sure.
You know, I like my guys not cheating.
Yeah, you would. But in real life, you like yourself cheating. Because if you ain't cheating, you ain't trying. We know that for sure. But, you know, you look at that, even if the suspension is upheld, let's say somehow, some way,
mm-hmm.
It's four games, right?
It's four games.
Four games
it's
the
not the
season.
End of the world.
This is not a DEFCON 5 situation.
No, it's not a whole shit, hang on to your pants, we're going to be 0-4. No, it's not.
Right.
You know, we brought in some pass rushers. We got, you know, Derek Wolfe, Sean Phillips. We got a lot of guys who can step in and give us a little bit of a boost.
There is depth at that position.
There is. And especially on our defensive line as far as a pass rush goes.
Sure.
But I'm not understating what a loss Von Miller would be for four games. It hurts big time, and he is one of our main focuses on defense. So it does hurt, but it's not the end of the world. And I even heard John Clayton say, oh my God, what does this do for their Super Bowl hopes in the beginning of the season? Nothing, dude. We got the easiest schedule in the NFL. I don't think it's going to hurt us that bad. It's going to hurt, but it is in the beginning of the season, and it's not injury-related, which we talked about before. So that's good.
Worst case scenario, this loses you one game that you wouldn't ordinarily lose.
Yeah.
That's worst case.
That's worst case scenario. And if that is the worst case scenario, I'm okay with that.
That's
survivable. I think the rest of the Broncos country is too.
Absolutely.
And knowing that it's not drug-related, I think that kind of helps you breathe a little easier. Like, oh, okay, it's not as bad as we were thinking. Maybe he just missed something. Maybe he missed one of his counseling things because he did still test positive for marijuana Now it's down to once, I guess, in 2011 as opposed to twice. They don't know.
Well, the information's awful accurate that comes out about all this
stuff. That's what I'm thinking. And now, so how did it go from... I remember the first thing I read about it was he tested positive for steroids and amphetamines. Mm-hmm. Then it went to amphetamines and weed, and now it's down to weed once and nothing else. So it's just like, are people getting this from?
I'd heard once that he was making meth in his bathtub while smoking.
Yeah, and he was also, you know, making
selling
a serum
it to
out of, you know, chickens or something. You know, people take serums from tigers now. Are you making it from chickens? Though?
Right, well,
he's a mean dude.
He is a chicken expert coming out of Texas A&M.
He's a chicken farmer now.
Yeah, that's true.
He's a king of poultry.
Man's got a lot of different skills, but
who the hell knows.
I think I'm with you on this. If it is this USO thing, there's no way you can suspend him for that.
No, because that, you're gonna Roger Goodell's gonna lose a lot of respect from a lot of people if he ends up doing that.
He has some left.
Maybe a little.
Oh, okay.
He's holding on to it. Maybe a thin thread. I don't know.
Okay, well, Jared, that brings us to what I believe, and you and I differ in opinion on this. This to me is, if I were a Broncos fan, this would be the DEFCON 5 news to me. This is something that would get my heart racing. This is something that I would be uber concerned about.
I hate that fucking word.
You don't like Uber?
No.
You don't like ginormous?
It's something that, you know, my 8-year-old niece would say. Like, it's uber cute. You know, I could picture her saying that.
Yeah, it rolls off the tongue. Yeah. All right. But, Dan Copen.
Okay, yeah, okay, so...
No more ACL. Lost a CL.
Here's my thing on Dan Copen is... You can't freak out and hit that oh fuck stage on the day 4 of training camp. Like, if you're doing that, you're emotionally just out of whack at that point, I think, as a fan. You know, if you're into that point in the beginning of training camp, you're going to be irrational all throughout the season. And we brought in Dan Copen as basically, he's kind of our big guy safety blanket as far as our center goes. But what we've been doing even since last year, and it started during training camp last season, is we have all of our linemen, except for Ryan Clady and Orlando Franklin, mm-hmm. rotating in at the center position. Mm-hmm. And now that we've known that J.D. Walton's going to be out till halfway through the season, Manny Ramirez has been rotating through, Chris Clark has been rotating through. Mm-hmm. And so it's one of these things where if you have to protect an aging quarterback, you want to make sure that if you lose a guy somewhere, you're not at that oh fucks DEFCON 5 stage. You want to make sure that you have all your bases covered. And I think that's what we've done. Now, I'm not going to disagree with you and say that this doesn't hurt. This does hurt. We brought him in to be our starter halfway through the season until J.D. Walton was healthy and came back. But since we lost him, Manny Ramirez is going to be our starter. Chris Clark will probably be our backup. We did bring in Steve... Starts with a V. I can't even remember his last name. We brought him back from the Jaguars, actually. So Jack Del Rio knows who he is. And we brought him in to be our backup behind Ramirez. So, you know, it is a step down. I'm not going to undermine that at all either. But Manny Ramirez is a guy who started 11 games for us last year, played in 15. And
didn't
now,
play at center, though. He played at guard,
When Chris Cooper went out. But now he's playing right next to Luis Vasquez, his former college roommate. The guys have chemistry. Offensive line, these guys have to have a very high football intelligence and chemistry. And so if he's playing next to a guy that he's played with before, I worry about it a little bit less. Because your offensive line is all about chemistry. And a lot of the guys that we have on our line, you know, Chris Clark has been here. And he's a backup guy who can kind of rotate in between roles. Ryan Clady, Zane Beatles, Ramirez, Orlando Franklin, these guys have been together for a while. So I don't think our chemistry is really going to skip too much of a beat.
Right.
And so that's why... I'm just not going to worry about this as much as everybody else is, I don't think. I think we prepared for this, and I think we are prepared for this. You know, we have one or two more guys go down, then I'm freaking out.
Okay, so here's why I would be freaking out right now if I was a Broncos fan. So, option number one, your first guy that you wanted to go this year was J.D. Walton.
Mm-hmm.
Out for the season. Gone.
Yep, he was gone last year.
Yeah, well, number one guy, gone again this year. Mm-hmm. You bring in Dan Copen, that's your second option, right?
Yep.
And it's not like he got injured and he tweaked the knee and he could be back like week 6. He tore his ACL. He's done skis, okay?
Yeah, and at his age, he's probably just going to be done forever.
He could be done forever. Yeah, absolutely. Now you're down to your third option, which is a guy who played guard instead of center. Mm-hmm. And now, even if you rotate in and you get a few snaps at center, you know, it's not the same. It's not the same as having your starting center or even your second starting center, you know, in there.
But we don't treat Manny Ramirez is a third string kind of guy because he is a starting caliber offensive lineman.
And
he has flexibility though.
Like, look at it this way. For example, like with the Seahawks.
Well, just because he played guard doesn't mean that that's all that he did for us.
Sure. And what I'm going to say about that is James Carpenter for the Seahawks, for example. We drafted him at right tackle. He struggled there initially. We moved him to guard. He got hurt, and he's been out for a while, but we're bringing him back at guard. It was obvious that, yes, he could play right tackle, and he could fill in, and he'd do all right. But he was much better in the guard position. Not that guys can't move around. It's just that some guys have a better fit at different positions on the line.
Yeah, that's true.
And the other thing, and this is the big thing to me, when I look at the center situation for you guys, is say you put Manny Ramirez at center. That's great. But you have guys there, whether it was Kopener or J.D. Walton, that were making the line calls. Because that's what the center does. He's making all the line calls.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, if Manny Ramirez can't get up to speed on all those line calls or be as proficient at it as your first two options, that puts that on Peyton Manning's shoulders at that point. Not saying that he can't handle it, but let's say he has to take an extra 4 seconds at the line of scrimmage to make the line call instead of making an adjustment to two or three routes to pick a defense apart. You're limiting your options just a little bit more. I don't know, man. The other big thing about the offensive line injury to me is you know, when I'm looking at things to panic about, the first position I would have a hissy fit about if my main guy got injured is quarterback, because it's quarterback-driven league. The second would be on my offensive line, because like I've stated before on this podcast and to you 1,000 times, your team is built from the inside out.
Yeah, you win in the trenches, and I agree with that.
You win, and especially when you have, you know, a guy that's at the twilight of his career that you have to protect at all costs. That offensive line injury, those are the things that scare me. I'm not saying that you can't overcome it. I'm not saying that, you know, you guys are going to go 4-12 at this point. Like, but I do think that this is a problem. Like, I mean, ask the Oakland Raiders when they had to bring in their backup center for, you know, some long snapping.
But that's long snapping. That's a whole different story. That's long snapping.
I'm just saying that's an extreme example that does show the value of a center in the chemistry.
But you seem to be really quick to want to freak out about an offensive line injury. And this is why I'm not going to, is because
I'm not freaking about one offensive line injury. I'm freaking out about two.
I know, but let me say this. We were riddled with injuries all last year. You know, we are prepared for this. If we didn't think Manny Ramirez could come in and do this job, yeah, we'd be freaking out. We would have tried to sign two or three centers to see who could do the job best for us. But we go in and get a guy to back him up. That's all we've done. And to be honest with you, me freaking out about this injury is a last case scenario for me, just because of how well we passed it together last year. How many times was Peyton Manning under duress last year with the injuries that we had?
Not a ton.
And so the fact that this happened to us, I don't think it's the whole DEFCON 5 thing, because I think we're prepared for this. You know, we understand that we have an aging quarterback, a porcelain doll, if you want to call him, just like the Chiefs did with Joe Montana. A model has been put forth on how to take care of these quarterbacks.
Right.
And I think we have enough depth on our offensive line to at least get us through halfway through the season, maybe a little bit more. And the fact that our front office, our coaches, nobody else is freaking out about this, and we're comfortable just saying, hey, Manny, it's your job now. We brought in a guy to back him up.
I mean, that's what you say.
I'm going to trust them more than anything, because this happened to us last year. We had the injuries to two of our starting guys, and everybody was like, oh my God, Peyton Manning's going to get hurt. They won't be able to run the ball, and we did everything just fine. Like, we didn't even skip a beat last season when those two guys went down. Sure. So, I mean, I'm just not going to freak out, because it wasn't a problem last year. You know, maybe we do take a little bit of a step back in our offensive line, but you know, just to me, I'm going to trust what our coaches are saying and the chemistry that our offensive linemen, whether it's a starter or a backup, have. And so I'm just not going to freak out, because we've dealt with this before already. So,
yeah,
you know, we'll see what happens when the season comes around. But
three injuries to the same position when you have J.D. Walton, Copen, and then C.J. Davis, the backup, too. He went down with a leg injury apparently the other day as well.
That guy was going to be a practice squatter anyways. But you look at the rest of our offensive line. So Manny Ramirez, we feel like he is a starting caliber offensive lineman. He's been taking snaps under center since last year.
Sure.
Just to make sure that he could come in, make the calls, and be on the same page with Peyton Manning. Peyton Manning, he's not freaking out either. He's like, yeah, he'll step in and do just a fine job. He can make the calls. So what else we have in our offensive linemen? You still have Ryan Clady. You still have Zane Beatles, who had a breakout season last year. You have Luis Vasquez, we brought in from San Diego, who is their best offensive lineman, who is penalty free for the most part of his career, except for one on a PAT point. And we have Orlando Franklin, who is also a stud. So I think our starting five is solid right now.
I like the rest of the line. I mean, definitely there's a wealth of talent there.
And I just still don't think that there's any reason to fret over Manny Ramirez being our center.
Well,
none
guess we'll,
whatsoever.
I guess we'll see. I mean, one advantage that you do have is that all this happened early. so that now you have time to put Manny Ramirez in with the first team at center, you know, all through training camp, all through the preseason.
Well, and
all
he's been there through OTAs, and he had a lot of first-string snaps.
Splitting time, but now he's going to do it. Now he's going to focus on it. So yeah, that's going to help, you know, so he'll be more prepared going into the season. You know, you hope for no more injuries there. You know, I mean...
Well, of course. Yeah, you always hope for no injuries. Right. You know.
But, I mean, it's just, you know, it's getting down there. But,
yeah, I'm just, I don't know. Bronco fans, I don't think this is really too much to worry about, especially since we'll get J.D. Walton back. Chris Cooper will be back at some point. I think we'll have depth halfway through the season. If we can make it till then, I don't think there's anything to worry about.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. So that was pretty much what you had for Broncos.
That's pretty much all that I wanted to talk about.
Yeah. All right. So speaking about
Julius Thomas is. Oh wait, couple more things. Julius Thomas is still lining up. He's the tight end I've been talking about for a while.
Yeah.
And Ronnie Hillman, if you guys want to get on the Broncos website and check out any of the highlights from training camp, he's picking up blocks. He still is explosive, but he's not just getting run over by defenders when he's carrying the ball either. He's explosive. He's got some more weight to him. Ronnie Hillman's. He's looking like he's going to be the number one guy coming into the season. So
that's interesting. And, you know, what we're going to do on the next podcast next week is, you know, talk a lot more about who's breaking out in camp and things like that. Because we'll have a few more practices under the belt to see who's actually performing with some consistency and all that stuff. But,
yeah, and the coaching staff will go over a lot more of the players.
But early on, Hillman looking good. So that's,
Hillman's looking really good.
That's pretty
good. Monty Ball's making mistakes, which as a rookie, you do that.
Right. Right.
You know, especially in a Peyton Manning offense.
Yeah, right. Good holding luck. Buckets.
So, yeah. That's pretty much it.
All right. Well, very good. Well, what we're going to do here, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back with some Seahawks talk here. Stay with us, folks. We'll see you in just a sec.
Yeah.
All right. We're back, everybody. Time for some Seahawks talk. And, you know, the better part of this podcast, I just wanted to beat you to the punch on that one.
Hey, it's coming up second because it's second best.
Oh, good God. We're just rotating out of, you know, courtesy, all right?
Yeah.
All right, so basically, some big storylines out of... fuck you. Big storylines out of Seahawks training camp. Obviously, the biggest, the Percy Harvin injury, the hip injury. Torn labrum, possibly. May need surgery, may not need surgery. You know, you spoke a little bit about how you're not freaking about, you know, Broncos injuries and those sort of things. This is the injury that is not freaking me out in any way, shape, or form.
Yeah, and you talked about why before, and I think you have some good points here.
Well, and in the big reason I'm not freaking out about it is, number one, even if it's worst case scenario, let's say he has to have surgery. You know, looking at you know, some of the reports online as to what the longest he'd be out for if he were to have surgery, if he started the season on the PUP list, then he would have to sit out till week six. And that's within the time frame that 90% of people recover from this injury. So we would see Percy Harvin at the latest by week seven.
Wait, and, so before he got to the Seahawks, what did you call him?
Puffy.
Because
it's so hard to say Percy with a straight face.
I think at this point he's living up to that name.
God, he sure is, man. Like, but, you know, he's that guy. I mean, he has this history of being injured to a degree. Now, he does bring it on game days most of the time. I mean, he honestly...
Yeah, he's a gamer.
The most games he's missed in a season was last year. And I think what was it? He got injured in the Seahawks game, injured his ankle. I think he probably would have legitimately be out 3 to 4 games with that ankle injury. And I think the remaining games that he sat out was because he got in a freaking
some trouble
pissing
with the coaching
contest
staff.
With Leslie Frazier. Apparently, yeah. He was on a training table strapped down. Leslie Frazier comes into the room. They get into an argument, and Percy's trying to rip the shit off of himself so he can go after Leslie Frazier. So, you know, the story itself is disconcerting. Oh, apparently he also threw a weight at Brad Childress in the weight room, and it went whizzing by his head.
Wouldn't you?
Oh, the first chance I got.
That would have been the first thing I would have done when I saw him come into my locker room. Fuck you, Brad Childress.
Yeah, but my point being with all that is, you know, he has a history. He's probably going to miss 3 to 4 games a season, okay? Mm-hmm. Like, on average, if you look at it. If we're going to miss those 3 to 4 games, I'd rather that be at the beginning
in
of the
season.
In the
first of the year.
Absolutely. So that...
And work him in a little bit.
You work him in, because where you really need those difference makers, you know, in your kind of Cadillacs, you know, and those sort of things, that your high-dollar situations, you want those at the end of the season.
In crunch time, when you're fighting for a playoff spot.
Right, when you need a guy just to pull a play out of his ass and, like, you know, just make that difference, you want that in the playoffs more so than, say, week three.
Mm-hmm.
And that's
unless,
why
of course, he gets hurt again.
Right.
Okay, so first, he's a short guy. So, yeah. I mean, with these injuries that kind of mount up, do you look at the manufacturer who is producing his walkers and maybe they're not fitting him right? Is that what's going on?
You know, I mean, I think his life alert pendant to alert people when he falls down and hurts his hip maybe wasn't working. They didn't get the medical staff there quick enough. I have no idea. But, you know, I'm not worried. Even if he was out the whole season.
Well, and you talked about this, and which is the best point I think you've made about this whole Percy Harvin injury thing, is you kind of brought him in as an added bonus. You know, the fundamental group of your receiving core is still there.
Sidney Rice, Golden Tate,
with him as a bonus.
Yeah, I mean, we were fine without him last year. I mean, we're 11-5, and you know, it came together when the quarterback play was elevated, and they got some chemistry with those receivers.
Yeah,
he has more chemistry with them this year. Golden Tate has been lighting it up in training camp. So if Golden gets some of those touches that Percy was, you know, designed to get, I'm fine with that. Golden is, you know, you'd say poor man's Percy Harvin, but I think he's even better than that. I think he's, you know, close to
I think
Percy
it's legitimate,
Harvin.
Especially if he's got a guy who can get him the ball.
Yeah, and he does. I mean,
so I think worst case scenario with your guys' receiving core is that you're just as good as you were last year at the end of the season.
Right.
That's fine.
That's worst case. So I'm not freaking out about that.
But what are you freaking out about?
Yeah, I'm freaking out. I'm freaking out about Zach Miller. And the reason I'm freaking out about Zach Miller is he had the plantar fascia situation at the end of the year where he had to get the shot in the Falcons game just to play the remainder of the game.
Look at Vasante Shenko.
Yep, exactly. It's the second time he's come back from that injury. He had tore that when he was with the Raiders earlier.
Oh, that's right.
So, you know, he's coming back from that. Coming into training camp, guess who's on the PUP list? Zach Miller with a foot injury to the same foot. Now, they're saying it's a different injury than the plantar fascia. They're not saying exactly what it is.
Mm-hmm.
Pete Carroll in his press conference yesterday said that he's close to being back. So, you know, the way Pete's talking about it, it sounds like it's not a big deal. But recurring injuries to the same area of the body, those start to pile up.
Well, they do because you're also overcompensating on that same foot. If you got a plantar fascia, that leads to turf toe. That leads to a whole mess of shit.
And you would know about that. And that's something that that does alarm me, but what really alarms me about it is we're already out Anthony McCoy.
Yeah, who else do you got? That was my next question for you.
We brought in some dude from the Falcons, like their backup tight end, and he's the only other guy on our roster that has made an NFL catch in the regular season, other than Zach Miller.
And
so when you start getting thin, when you start, like, you know, I mentioned in the previous segment with the Broncos, when you start having 2, 3, 4 guys in the same position group come
when
down
really
with injuries,
starting to mount up.
That freaks me out. Zach Miller's a big deal in this offense. So
he is, because he's your only receiving tight end.
We got Sean McGrath, who apparently catches everything that gets thrown at him. And
it's just a matter of getting open at that point.
That sounds great in theory. But, you know, I mean, we haven't seen it in the actual games. We have the rookie Luke Wilson, the, you know, second string tight end from Rice that we brought in.
Not the actor.
Okay. I don't know if their noses are equally as crooked. but point being is he's an unproven commodity, and he's not a blocker. Zach Miller is a blocker in a run-heavy offense as well. An underrated blocker. And
yeah. He can't expose a defense when you use him, right? Look what he did against the Atlanta Falcons.
Oh, and that's kind of a bit about our offense. It's a little bit of pick your poison. You know, if you're going to shut down this guy, it's going to leave, you know, Zach Miller open over the middle. You're going to shut Zach Miller down, that's going to leave Golden open on the outside, or Sidney, or whatever.
I think you guys will end up picking up one of our guys, because we're so deep at tight end, we're going to have to get rid of one of them.
We'll definitely be searching the waiver wires. I'd be surprised.
The waiver wires?
The waiver hours. Oh, that guy L kicking in. You look, you know, towards the end of the preseason, that's when teams start, you know, cutting down their rosters, you know, to the 53-man roster finally. And there's going to be talented guys out there. I'm sure if
there's actually a bunch, because if you look at a 53-man roster, if you're super deep at your receiving core and you have to sacrifice one or two of those guys to make cuts to make some room for a defensive guy, there's going to be quality guys coming off of every team. So, you know, when you I've seen a lot of fans freak out about, oh, well, we got this guy from this team, you know, and it was late in the preseason, blah, blah, blah. There's still quality guys out there. It's just sometimes sacrifices are made. So don't think you can't get a quality tight end after those cuts are made.
Yeah, I mean, at least a serviceable guy. Maybe lead replacement.
Absolutely.
You know? But one reason I'm not, you know, on the flip side, one thing that I'm not freaking out about regarding that injury is every team has their position group that is going through a bout of injuries. You know,
or even growing pains at that point.
Right. Like, for example, the 49ers. You know, I was looking at, you know, an article yesterday for them. Kyle Williams, receiver, hamstring out. Ricardo Lockett, all you Seattle fans, you're familiar with him, has a hip problem, chucks his helmet to the ground because he can't come back into practice. It doesn't look good. Quentin Patton, their draft pick this year, has a soft cast on his left hand. They're putting Vernon Davis out at receiver at this point.
I did hear that. I wonder if they go after Brandon Lloyd or if they even have enough cap room to go after a guy like him.
It's hard to say. So my point with that just being is every team has their position where they're suffering a rash injuries, and mm-hmm. you're going to have to work through it. It's part of the game.
And your guys' injuries, as far as your receivers or even your tight end, are not near as devastating as the 49ers receiver corps.
I don't feel that way. Yeah. Yeah. But another injury that concerns me a little bit coming out of training camp was Jesse Williams.
The guy who Brandon loves.
Oh, he loves Jesse. Loves him some Jesse Williams.
And, what's his deal?
Tweaked his knee. And that was the same knee that everybody had concerns about coming out of the draft. That's why he fell in the draft. That's why I wasn't that high on him, honestly. Mm. And Jordan Hill stepping in and taking first team reps, the guy that I'm very high on, the third round pick out of Penn State, says he's performing well. Another guy that's been performing well in camp, just quickly, Steven Williams, a wide receiver we picked up from the Arizona Cardinals, who had flashes while he was there. Mm-hmm. Coming over
but
here.
Just never had a quarterback, right?
Never had a quarterback. I guess he catches everything. Long arms, big hands, tall guy, fast. Russell Wilson was raving about him in a press conference the other day.
Uh-huh. And he did get to learn from Fitz for a while, too. That's never a bad thing.
So we'll see kind of what ends up with him. I mean, there's strong competition there at receiver, whether it's Jermaine Curse or Phil Bates or Harper that we drafted this year. And then now Steven Williams as well. So
how tall is Steven Williams? He's like six? He's tall, right?
I'm not sure, but I know he is tall.
He's a taller guy?
Yeah, I think he's 6'2", something along those lines. That'd be my guess. I'm not sure. But, Russell said he did have, monkey arms, basically, and can just jump up and grab anything. So, go gadget arms. Fantastic, So, that's kind of when I look at, Seahawks training camp to this point, our injuries, whether or not to, actually go to DEFCON 5 and, the season's over. I'm concerned about the tight end group, but it's going to be okay. Percy.
And you guys always have a chance to pick up some dudes later on.
Exactly. Percy, one way or the other, we're going to be fine.
That's, yeah.
So, Hawks fans, I think we're still in good shape. But watch that tight end group, watch Zach Miller, and we'll kind of go from there.
One thing that I do like about training camp, I know we're not that very far into training camp. What'd you say? We're like a quarter of the way through.
Quarter of the way.
The thing that I like that you don't hear about is all the players that you're not hearing about. You're not hearing about Demaryius Thomas and Eric Decker and Joel Dreesen and Jacob Tammy and all these other guys and Champ Bailey. That's good. That means they're doing what they picked up right where they left off last season. It's great to not hear about these guys because they're just doing what they're supposed to.
Yeah, exactly. So, some bad news mixed in with some good news.
Mm-hmm. You're not hearing anything about Marshawn Lynch and Russell Wilson because they're just doing well.
Yeah, doing what they do. Yep. 10 days till the first Seahawks preseason game.
Yeah.
August 8th against the Chargers. Oh, my God. I can't believe it's here, man.
11 days after that, we'll be in Seattle watching the Broncos whoop up on the Hawks.
I can't even. You just shut your dirty mouth. Well, the 12th man is not going to allow that to happen. Who the fuck knows in preseason? Third stringers could light it up, and you have no idea.
All I know is we enjoy playing you guys in the preseason because there's a lot of communications between our teams as to what we're going to do.
Yeah, it'll be a fun game.
I like that.
It'll be a fun game. So that's everything I had on the Seahawks here. What we're going to do here, folks, we're going to take another quick break. Coming back, we're going to talk about the Dead Guy Ale from Rogue Brewery.
Tasty, very tasty.
One last thing I wanted to add as well is we've had a few people ask how they can get involved with the show. Matthew Williams actually sent us a message the other day, asking how he could get involved with the show. And just like for all of you, send us an email, afodpodcast@gmail.com. Tell us what's on your mind. Like us on Facebook. We put a lot of things up there that are either entertaining or informational.
Yeah. Another thing that I like to hear about from everyone is their theories on depth charts or position players, all sorts of this shit. I like to hear theories about stuff.
And I think the best way that we could do that is if people would call into the number and leave a message. Like, go on a rant. Say what's on your mind. 406-823-0307. 406-823-0307. Check it out. One segment I'd love to start doing from here on out is one listener rant per episode. Mm-hmm. So call in. Leave us a message. It'll be freaking hilarious. So get on that. Anyways, folks, taking a break. Dead Guy L coming up next.
We'll be right back.
And we're back, everybody. Hopefully we're pulling it together a little bit more here.
I think we're doing fine.
We're going to do the beer review segment here. Today, we are drinking Rogue Brewery's Dead Guy Ale. And this is Oregon brewed beer. It's pretty damn good. It is a German Maibock, and it's brewed in the style of a German Maibock using our proprietary Pac-Man ale yeast. Deep honey in color and a malty aroma and a Richie Hardy flavor. Richie Hardy. And
wow, did you memorize that or were you reading that?
Hey, look, man, I just we may have gotten a paid promotion for that. We may not have. But
it's out of Newport, Oregon, though, and Oregon comes up with a lot of beers. Oregon, Washington, Idaho, Montana, you know, Northwestern, Wyoming. This is kind of the Napa Valley of beer, really. Yeah. And so it kind of falls in that category. Man, it's an awesome beer.
It's an awesome beer. This is a really rich beer. I'm having a hard time classifying it like as a lighter beer or a darker beer. I mean, it's
medium in color.
Yeah.
I think it's an all year round beer.
You could not drink this and be sad at the end of the day. I'm actually very impressed.
Yep.
You know, one thing that I did find funny is they had these two little icons on the back of the bottle, like printed on there. One's like a profile of a pig and then just in a square box, and the other one's just like a campfire directly underneath of it. And I was like, what the hell is that for? And
I think it might be you need to barbecue pork in a campfire.
I read on their sheet here, the food pairing is pork or things that are hot and spicy. but I think that's funny. I thought maybe for a second it was like kosher or not kosher. I don't know.
They're
like,
dipping into the culinary aspect of this beer.
They are. Way to go, guys. This is a big deal. So that's the beer, folks. Dead Guy Ale. It will fuck you up because it did me.
And decide your dinner.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. That choose your beer, and that makes the dinner decision way easier. I like that because a lot of times it's hard to choose what you want.
These guys are way ahead of the game.
They are way ahead of the game. I approve of it. All right, folks, we'll be right back with the state of the NFL. Stay tuned. And we're back, everybody. It is time for the state of the NFL. Basically, what we're going to do here, Jared, we're going to go over the divisions. Well, I mean, you know, I don't know what I'm telling you.
Yeah, but I know what the fuck we're doing, man.
We're going to go over there, each of the divisions, just make our predictions on how each of those are going to shake out. Mm-hmm. Maybe not an exact record, but just placement.
We're not going to go over in depth of all these teams either because, you know, we spent hours just talking about our teams. If we went and talked about all of these teams, it would take us hours and hours. So we're kind of going to gloss over this stuff and go kind of with an overview.
Well, we have a life, so we can't just do, you know, detail on every team. But just a little insight. Probably talk very little about the NFC West and the AFC West since we covered that. I think episode 5, so check that out. So we're going to start out here, Jared, the AFC East. Teams in that division, Patriots, Dolphins, Jets, and the Bills. And they finished in exactly that order last year.
I don't think a lot's going to change.
Okay, the only change that I really see here is the Bills finish ahead of the Jets.
Yeah, that'll happen because the Jets are a freaking mess.
They're a gigantic
mess. I think the top two teams, I think the Patriots with Belichick and Brady are always going to finish on top. But the Dolphins improved a lot this year.
Actually,
and they will kind of be on their heels, I think.
We said we're going to do this off the cuff, and I've actually had a change of heart. Miami Dolphins are going to finish first in this division, Jared.
You think so?
The Miami Dolphins are going to finish first in this division because this is the year for the New England Patriots where taking those risks on risky players finally catch up to them. I mean, they've done it for year after year after year thinking that they had that veteran leadership to make these guys, you know, mold into the Patriot
way. So
you could bring anybody in. Well, the problem is you lose a Teddy Bruschi, you lose a Mike Vrabel, you lose a Richard Seymour, you lose these guys, a Lawyer Malloy, that were the core of that. And all you have is just Tom Brady. And then you pull in an Aaron Hernandez. He's straight capping people.
Dude, I'm going to be completely honest with you. I kind of like this story coming out. Because it's made our accusations and faults this offseason seem like jaywalking at this point.
Thank you, Aaron Hernandez.
Thank you, man. You have taken a lot of the pressure off of this shit. I will walk across that street for you any day.
The Bruce Irvin thing had come out, and not long after that, the Hernandez thing comes out. And I was like, thank you, Aaron Hernandez.
I mean, Von Miller, they talk about his suspension, and all of a sudden there's Aaron Hernandez gun photos popping up. I was like, cool.
Cool, yeah.
You know, not cool over the situation. We all know it's a bad situation. Let's not get oversensitive. But you're taking the sweat off of my team right now.
Yeah, on a practical level, on like a realistic level, it's the saddest story of all time. I mean,
it's up there. You know, it's terrible.
It's a bad deal. You know, we feel bad for the families and all that. But with that said, on a practical level, this is great for us.
Yeah.
So
you like the pressure being taken off you?
Thanks a lot. But I think this is the big story. I mean, they weathered Spygate. They've weathered all those things. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Belichick is that type of coach that, you know, can usually pull through these things. But, you know, you're with the team for X amount of years. Your voice grows stale. Like, you know, the players get old, you know, and you have problems like this that pop up. And you just can't overcome them. And there's a year that there's a downfall that nobody expects. And I think that's that this year with the New England Patriots. For me,
I disagree, though.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, I got a couple reasons why, actually. Okay. So they've taken Tom Brady's entire receiving core away from him in the past. And how do you do? Really well. He didn't skip a beat. I think a lot of what's being underestimated about the Patriots and why they're not fretting too much is how much progress their defense has made in the way they draft the last few years. I think their defense is going to be better yet again. And I can't count Tom Brady out for not winning his division because they take his receivers away. They've done this before. And so to be honest with you, I don't think anybody's going to beat him in that division. I mean, the Dolphins are going to be better, but I think they've been building a different style of team. They know that they got to win with defense now, and they've improved it the last 3 years steadily.
So basically, you're going to blow up my soap opera argument based on football facts and knowledge?
That's what I'm saying.
Is that basically what you're trying to do?
Dude, we play the Patriots every year, man, and they're always the top two of the AFC, so you got to pay attention to them. And that's just what I've seen with them over the last 3 years.
Yeah, fuck you with your actual stats and stuff, because those were excellent points. I will say that. Those were excellent points. But I still believe... The New England Patriots.
Oh, and that's so what, you're going to pick your hated Dolphins?
Yes.
And wow. This is a change of heart. Adam hates the Dolphins.
With the passion of a thousand burning suns, I hate the Dolphins. Growing up, you know, when I was a wee boy growing up in Montana with a place without a regional team, I was a Bills fan. That's what we saw on TV. I love the Bills and, like, Jim Kelly and all those teams. And the Dolphins, fuck the Dolphins. Fuck Dan Marino. Fuck those colors.
I don't mind
Miami.
The Dolphins. When we were watching the game, I was like, dude, how could you still hate them? They're a completely different team. He goes, they still look the same.
And they do. Even with this new uniform changes coming up this year, they still
it's
look
just
the
terrible.
Same.
Make a mean Dolphin.
Disgusting.
Come on.
But right. I am picking them to win this division.
Okay.
So Dolphins.
So we flip-flop there.
So it's Dolphins, Patriots, Bills, Jets. That is the way I see this.
The Bills and the Jets, I'm pretty torn behind. I don't know.
I like EJ Manuel. I don't think he's.
I don't. I saw him play at Florida State, man. I'm not sold on that guy.
I'm not talking about him becoming an upper echelon quarterback, okay. But I think he absolutely can be a middle of the road quarterback. I think he can be a 16th best quarterback in the league, which I think is an upgrade from where they were a year ago.
I think he's going to be a backup and a mediocre one at that.
I think he's got more intangibles than that.
I just didn't see a lot out of him at Florida State.
That's where offensive players go to die, is Florida State.
Well,
and
that's
check
why
it out,
at
man.
This level, I don't know if you're going to overcome that. You get a shorter window. He's a player that, if he was going to make it with this athletic ability, he's going to need 5 or 6 years.
I wouldn't
have that in the NFL anymore.
I wouldn't have drafted him with the first round pick.
Hell no.
But, but his chance for his chances for success, I believe, you know, to be a mid-range quarterback, I think they're pretty high.
I think what we're seeing here, folks, is that when we talk about our own teams, we agree a lot. We get into the other NFL, there's not a fucking
one that
we
agree.
Okay, so Bills, what do you see in the Bills?
What do I see in the Bills? I see a good defense. I see a new coach coming in to change that culture. And I see EJ Manuel coming in and backed up with Fred Jackson in the backfield and CJ Spiller. Those are some
Spiller is fast.
Yeah, and Stevie Johnson, that receiver, he's good. He tore us up, Stevie Johnson. We dominated the Bills, but Stevie Johnson had a heyday.
I think he's got a leash on his own personality at this point, too.
Right. I think he's getting way better on that. I think they have infinitely more talent than the New York Jets at this point.
Okay, so Geno Smith or Mark Sanchez?
Pick one. Turn sandwich either way.
That's exactly what I was going to say. That was a trick question. I was like, does it even matter?
Does
it even matter at this point?
No, that's okay. It's like eating a brown turd sandwich and a lighter brown turd sandwich.
Yeah, Jets are just done.
They're done. Terrible.
All right, you might have convinced me that the Bills will finish higher than them.
They will.
Okay.
No, no more.
The Jets are a train
Revis
wreck.
Island.
Dude.
Yeah,
Jets are a train wreck.
Dude, they're bringing Braylon Edwards back at receiver, like for the third time. Come on back. Come on back. Like, yeah, they just keep bringing Braylon back. I don't understand.
We're bringing Braylon back.
Okay.
So, NFC East. Should we go with that?
Yes, okay. NFC East. I look at these teams. We got Redskins, Giants, Cowboys, Eagles. They finished in exactly that order last year. If I'm picking my top team in this division, it's going to be the Washington Redskins.
Okay. I'm actually going I think I'm going with the Giants here. I think they have a year of Eli Manning. I think he's going to come through, and I think the Giants are going to play well. It's just going to be one of those years. Some years they don't play well, like after the Super Bowl, and then they'll come back and they'll just tear it up.
My pause was because I was trying to decide between those two.
We haven't discussed any of this shit.
No, we're doing this all off the cuff. And so, you know, I look at this. I think RG3 had to have learned a lesson in that playoff game about protecting himself.
I think so, too.
I think Mike Shanahan had to have learned that lesson. I think he's a hell of a good player. Mm-hmm. I think they've got a solid defense. I think they got a top five running back and a top five quarterback. And I don't see one other team in this division that can boast that kind of talent.
The one issue I see with their offense this year is Pierre Garçon came out and said it's going to be the best offense ever. So RG3 did pretty well as a rookie last year, right, without seeing the NFL before. It's a new playbook, all this kind of stuff. They ran a lot of spread, and he ran the ball himself a lot last year. Yeah. So the difference between last year and this year is they're going to have to – he's going to have another rookie season because they're completely adjusting their offense to a heavy throwing offense rather than hoping he's going to get them out of that. So I think he's going to have to relearn some offense, and that's why I think they're going to – you know, they'll do well. I think they're going to do well, but I think RG3 is already going to have to adjust his style, and so is Mike Shanahan, which, you know, that probably won't be a problem for him. But the team's going to adjust their offense a little bit this year.
It is an interesting point that you make there, because their offense, I believe, was much more based on the run as far as a quarterback running, you know, whether it was the read option or whatever, than, say, like the Seahawks.
Right.
It seemed like...
Oh, it definitely was.
Yeah. It seemed like they used that run option or read option a lot more.
And I think a lot of that is because RG3 wasn't as polished of a passer halfway through the season as Russell Wilson was already becoming.
Like, I believe
by
that.
By the time you guys went from week 8 to week 17, you knew how good he was going to be in the pocket. And you kind of saw that. I think the coaching staff saw that. With RG3, it's going to be more of a process for his arm, I think.
Yeah.
Even if he figures it out this year, that's fine. But I think that's exactly why that happened.
That's true. I do believe RG3 has a stronger arm. And I think he has good touch, and I think he's a good passer. But I think Russell is a better thrower.
And he just anticipates more at this point.
He's just a little more polished. Yeah. I'm not saying that RG3 can't get there.
No, he's gonna be awesome. I hope he doesn't injure his knee again, because, I mean, he's torn both of them now.
Or is the same one twice. I think it's the same one twice.
Okay.
Yeah, which still isn't good.
Hope he doesn't have another one, because I want to see him play for a while.
Okay.
So let's talk about the Giants then.
Okay, so the Giants, this would be my second place team.
Okay.
Just because I didn't really see them make any net gains. I think their receiving core, I mean, they locked up Victor Cruz. That's nice.
Yeah.
There's nobody else that really scares me on that. I mean, Hakeem Nicks, he's good, but I don't know. He's a number two or a number three to me. I don't really see that as being a big weapon. Who do they even have at tight end? I think they got rid of Martellus Bennett.
I think, isn't Ballard gone too?
Yeah, didn't Ballard's go to... on the Patriots.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
So here's why I still think they're going to take first. It's because you don't know what they're going to do year to year. I mean, this is a total random gamble. There's no depth to why I picked them first.
But
I think it's a hit or miss every single year, and I think they're on a hit season with Coughlin and Eli
Manning. Isn't every Giants season a giant gamble?
Absolutely. And like, that's why I've taken them right here, because I think this is the gamble year.
You have no idea. Know,
I don't think they're any more talented than the Redskins. I think they're probably less talented. But this is just a year that I think the veterans in Coughlin in that division and Eli Manning are just going to still beat the Redskins.
Wow. How many games apart do you think these two teams will finish? You think it'll be a large spread or small?
No, not
large
at all. I think it's
close to the
end. I think it's close
to
the end.
It's going to be 1 to 2 games. Yep. And I think it's going to be 1 to 2 games for the top three teams. I think they're going to finish that closely together.
Because you think the Eagles are going to be number three?
That's exactly right. That's my third team in this division is the Philadelphia Eagles. You know, Chip Kelly is going to revolutionize the football.
Let's revelize
this
game.
Show Michael Vick how to hold a football, apparently.
Hey, man, the fucker was getting pressure. We talked about that.
Yeah, but he knows how to hold a football. I mean, I'm pretty sure when you get to the NFL, you've been taught how to hold a football. But I do think Chip Kelly's offense is perfectly suited for Michael Vick's skill set.
Mm-hmm.
If he'll buy in and do the study, and I think he will. Because
I think he's done that. I think he's a quality quarterback. He just hasn't really had anything steady for a long time. I know he had Andy Reid, but he never had an offensive line.
I don't understand all the people that are just jonesing for Nick Foles to take this job.
Like, oh, that's not going to happen.
Especially in Philly. Like, there's been a lot of Mike Vick backlash, and not because of the dogs, but because of his play. Was that a low blow?
Yeah, it's fair.
Okay. So, I still like
Vick as a quarterback, man. I still do, and I think Chip Kelly, with the offense, he's going to want to run that fast offense where you need a quarterback who can be mobile and run some different, give him some different look, a defense some different looks. I think they're going to shine. They got LeSean McCoy, too, who's fast.
I love Shady.
Dude, that guy's good.
Jackson?
I think LeSean McCoy is one of the most underrated running backs still. I think he is. I don't think he's been healthy enough, especially last season, to kind of show people
where
he
can rank in your mind?
I think if he's healthy for a full season, he's a top five running back.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
Mm-hmm. Easily, yeah. Man. Easily, because yeah. He's got that quickness, but he can also lower his shoulder. He's not going to break. I mean, I know he's had some injuries, but...
He doesn't seem fragile, money. Though.
No.
No.
He'll be good.
So, yeah, I think Philadelphia Eagles, third in this division, and close. You know, they're going to be close.
You think so? I don't know what their defense is, you know...
They got rid of an offensive guy and put in an actual defensive guy as coordinator.
That's true, but they also lost some players.
Yeah, I know. They lost Averagewa. Whoop-de-doo.
Dominic Rogers-Cromartie.
Jason Babin is gone, but he wasn't that great anyway.
Jason Babin's chasing bowls.
I don't mind their defense. I think it's going to be fine.
I don't think they're any better than last year.
Well, I think they're better than last year.
Just because of the coordinator.
Well, because of coordinator and just the change of a voice in a franchise. I mean, just Andy Reid had gone stale.
Yeah.
You know, and just that infusion of new energy, I think, is just going to be the difference there. So that brings me to the Dallas Cowboys, who I do despise in every way.
Yeah, me too.
But that's not why I put them fourth.
I just think they lack talent at this point. I think they're starting to lack talent. I don't hate Tony Romo. I've seen him make every single throw on the field. He can do it. But there's just... You look at that team, and there's no leadership. You need a leader as a quarterback. I mean...
I think Tony Romo's a leader. I think Jason Witten's a leader, too. But what I think they really lack is just a depth of talent. Like, they have a few talented guys in spots, but there's nobody behind him. I mean,
Des Bryant's just tough to corral on his own. Miles Austin's mediocre at best.
Mediocre. I don't...
They'll be last. I don't know if we even need to spend a lot of time on them.
No.
You know, they're just not going to be that good.
They're just not going to be that good.
I mean, we could go on like a 30-minute rant about the freaking Cowboys, but...
Fuck them.
Maybe...
They get enough time.
Yeah, screw America's team. They're not even America's team. The Broncos are now. We don't know that.
See, I would even refuse to say that because I don't believe it. I will never utter that phrase about the Cowboys because they're not. Brings us to the AFC North.
This division is just tough to pick every year, man, because...
It's crazy. It's crazy.
I mean, I always want to count the Steelers out, but can you ever really fully count them out?
Well, apparently last year you could because they didn't make the playoffs. So we have Ravens, Bengals, Steelers, and Browns. Steelers finishing third last year.
Yep. I think this is finally the year that Cincinnati takes this division. I think Andy Dalton's ready to do it.
I actually agree with that. And
I thought it might have been last year, but he couldn't do it within the division. I don't know what his record was, but he didn't win the divisional games.
Right.
But they were close. I do remember.
They were right there. And, you know, that aging Baltimore defense put together one more season. Like, that's what that was.
And they lost a lot of defense. All they gained basically was Elvis Dumervil in absence of Ellerby and Pollard and Reed and Lewis and all these guys. So... I think this is the Bengals' year to take that division over.
I do, too. I really do. I think they have a solid defense. I think Geno Atkins on that defensive line, he's a monster.
Mm-hmm.
You know, their linebacker, Malaluga, I think he's freaking good.
Malaluga is good.
Yeah. Their corners, they're pretty decent. Yeah, I think Terrence Newman is one of them, and I'm going to lay off of Terrence Newman right now. Maybe I'm wrong on that. Maybe he might be gone by now, but... I think he was there.
Yeah, Terrence Newman.
But I do. I like the Bengals for this. I think they're first in this division.
Yep. The problem with me is after you get to this point, I think the Cincinnati Bengals are going to win it. But when you look at the Ravens, the Steelers, and the Browns, I think the Browns are any bit as good as those other two teams this year.
Interesting, because I was actually... The Browns are not last place in this division, if you ask me.
They're not this year. I think they're going to... See, that's where I think you can interchange all three of these teams this year, because I don't really know. I think the Browns are much improved. They were last year. They lost a lot of close games.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're a lot better.
They played tough.
And Brandon Weeden, everybody wants to harsh on him because he didn't have an RG3 Russell Wilson type of season, but he was a rookie. I know he's older, but he was a rookie. He had a really quality rookie season if you look at his stats and the way he played.
As a rookie...
I think he's going to be better this year.
He had a decent year. I just don't know that you're ever going to get that much more out of him. I don't know that
he's Carson Palmer.
He's a lesser Carson Palmer.
I think he'll be a decent Carson Palmer. He'll be good between the 20s.
He doesn't seem to learn from his mistakes. That's the one thing that
bothers me. He was a rookie.
Yeah.
You know, not a lot of rookies did. Look at how many rookies usually throw a crap load of interceptions.
Yeah.
Just because they were thrown into that offense and nobody adjusted for them. See, with the Broncos and Tebow and with, you know, the Seahawks and Wilson, and with the Redskins and RG3, they adjust their offenses for their quarterbacks. Brandon Weeden didn't get that. They go, come in and run a pro-style offense, just hope for the best.
You know who the backup
is? Right away.
In Cleveland?
No.
Jason Campbell.
Oh, that's right.
That's right.
And I don't know. There's something about Jason Campbell that I've always kind of liked.
Because he's not bad.
He's not bad.
He just had different coordinators, and then now he's bounced around.
I think he's T-Jack.
I think he's better than T-Jack.
He's a 9-7, 7-8 quarterback.
Yeah. That's the tier there. I think he's a more accurate thrower. But I think the Browns, they're definitely not going to finish last. The Steelers, I don't even know. I think they're stale with Dick LeBeau on defense.
I think they're third place in this division, Jared. I think it goes Bengals. I think it goes Bengals, Steelers. I think they're second place.
Okay.
I think Big Ben, he'll be able to stay a little healthier because their offensive line is healthy once again, and hopefully stays that way. I don't know. I just that team is that team that you just can't count out with Big Ben.
Ben's awesome.
He's very, very good, and that's why I picked them to take second in this division.
Okay, I'm going to have to come up with an official pick here, but it could easily go Bengals, Browns, Ravens, Steelers, Bengals, Steelers, Ravens, Browns,
any of this shit.
So, okay, let's go. I'm going to go Bengals, Ravens, Browns, Steelers.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because I think the Ravens aren't going to be as bad as everyone thinks they are, and Flacco's actually starting to play pretty well.
I'm going Bengals, Steelers, Browns, Ravens.
Okay, so we just flip-flopped the Steelers and the Ravens, pretty much. It's close.
I thought the Ravens were going to fall off a cliff last year. Obviously, they won the Super Bowl, so I was 100% wrong.
Way off.
But
I did too, though.
I think we all have to admit that was one of those magical one last one for the Gipper seasons. They lost a lot of guys. And I think this is a year that it just, the wheels on the bus fall off.
The one thing that I don't know about the Ravens, and I'll admit that this is a weak point of mine, is when you let all these guys go, there's a changing of the guard on defense.
Mm-hmm.
The thing that I have not taken the time to look into is how they've drafted. I don't know how the Baltimore Ravens have drafted, and I don't know what they have coming up. I know a few of their backups, but I don't know their progress. So,
that's why
I'm not going to count them out, because I have a hard time believing that the brass in that organization is doing a poor job.
Look at it in this light, though. Say they're even good, the people they've been bringing along. Say they're good players, but they're young. They're in their first or second year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people they've just drafted. It's going to take a full season for them to kind of get their, earn their stripes.
Yeah, this is one of the most interesting divisions this year to watch, I think. It always is to me. It always is.
It is.
All right. Okay. Oh, this is another division.
All right, the NFC North. The Norsky. Last year, Packers, Vikings, Bears, Lions. That's how they finished. I look at this. I think Packers are the clear choice for number one.
Yep.
That's easy for me.
Yep. Even though their defense is still going to be, mediocre.
Yeah, they're the 6th to 8th best team in the league.
And you got a crap load of money tied up into Clay Matthews with not a lot surrounding him. Charles Woodson's gone.
Yeah.
Hope B.J. Raji can stop everything.
If he's on the field, even.
If he's on the field. So, Packers' defense is bad, but I think their team is still better than the other three.
They got some good corners, but,
They're still better than the other three in their division.
Yes.
At this point.
I think that's clear.
This is a tough one
to pick, though. This is where you could sell me on any one of these three teams to be.
Yeah.
I think I'm as confused about this as you were of the AFC North. These ones feel even closer.
Well, here it's like I want to go with the Lions, but then their coach. What a douche.
Dude, the power of the Schwartz is not getting it done. And
Schwartz is terrible. That's their limiting factor.
I know. And that's what makes it tough for me. But then they bring in Reggie Bush, and I'm a Reggie Bush believer now.
I think he's quality.
He proved it to me in Miami.
He became an every down back.
Absolutely. And I think he makes that offense way better. If you give that offense just a tiny bit of balance, they are unreal.
Mm-hmm. Their defense is still a little suspect.
They
brought in Drayton Florence last year. That's where their DBs are at.
I don't know what they did to the secondary, but I hope they fucking did something, because that was the poor point to that.
So the reason I think they're going to fall down is because I think the Bears are going to beat them in this division just because their team, I think, can handle a passing opponent better than the Lions can. Lions are going to get torn up by teams who could throw the ball. Even the Bears are going to
punish
them with cover.
And I kind of believe in the Canuck coach of the Bears.
Do you?
I do. I think he's a nerd's nerd, but I think
you think he's a football nerd.
But I think he knows his goddamn football, and I think
I can't wait. I can't even remember his name off the top of my head
now. That's why I just called him the Canuckin coach.
But I think there's a reason they brought him in. The reason they went from Lovie Smith to this guy. Maybe he's the next mastermind. We'll see what happens.
I think...
So who do you think finishes number two?
I think it's the Bears. Because I believe in that coach. I believe in his ability to work with a guy who has all the talent in the world in Jay Cutler.
Yeah. You can't count Jay Cutler out either.
I don't. I have yet to write him out of the league. I wanted to call him Jeff George 2.0 for a long time, but yeah. I don't think he's wired the same way. I don't think he's nearly as shitty.
He is more competitive than I would have thought.
Yeah.
And he's got a cannon. And he does get... And, you know, his body language is shitty on the field.
It is.
But when you listen to interviews with him and when he's mic'd up, the guy is wired to fucking win the game.
Yeah.
He really is.
Just goes at it with kind of a snarky attitude.
Yeah. He's a less talented Brett Favre. Like, if he... I think if you had the mentality of Brett Favre and Jay Cutler, I think they're very similar. The only thing was Brett Favre could throw the football 150 miles an hour, and Jay Cutler can only throw it 136.
I'd say Jay Cutler is every bit as talented as Brett Favre. I think the only difference between their careers at this point is coaching. You look at Jay Cutler when he was in Denver with Mike Shanahan. That last year that was here, he was tearing it up with a guy that knows quarterbacks. Now, then he goes to the Bears with Lovie Smith.
A defensive guy.
He's a defensive guy. And I don't think he helped out Jay Cutler in any way, shape, or form. Plus, with Mike Martz coming in there and installing his system.
Martz's system was the worst thing to happen to Jay Cutler.
With that line? Yeah.
He's got such a cannon. You don't just throw the deep ball. You throw 20-yard routes on a fucking rope is what you do with Jay Cutler.
With that offensive line, you don't throw the deep ball. And that's what Mike Martz never figured out. And so
you and I are on the same page with Mike Martz for sure.
Yeah, so I think Jay Cutler, if you had put him in that Green Bay Packers situation with Mike Holmgren as your coach, and you'd given him, you know, 6-7 years to flourish under that, I think he'd rip up this league.
Okay.
I think coaching's the difference.
You've thoroughly proved me wrong on the Jay Cutler theory.
You blew up my Patriots soap opera argument.
We're even.
Okay.
So that leads us to the Detroit Lions and the Vikings. I'm going with the Lions over the Vikings.
I am too, because I fucking hate Christian Ponder.
He's just not that good.
And Matt Castle.
And Matt Castle. I mean, I think Leslie Frazier could be a good coach. I think he could be a better coordinator.
Yeah, he feels like he's a coordinator to me, right?
You know, he's a good guy. He seems like a guy who can get his team up and get them pumped. And I just don't see him as a head coach type of guy. That's pretty much it. And Schwartz, you know, Lions got a lot of talent, so I picked them in front of the Vikings. That's
hard to doubt AP, but not many people have backed up a 2,000-yard season with another one. I think it's zero.
I think he's going to still get his yards just because he's Adrian Peterson. He is the best running back in the NFL.
Yes.
But he's not going to have a season like he did last year, especially without the help of a passing game.
Yeah.
And all their passing game did was minus themselves Percy Harvin.
True.
Who was majority of their offense in the first 8 weeks of the season?
Yeah, that is true.
Vikings
are going
to suck balls this year.
Yeah, it's going to be tough for them.
Sorry, Jared Allen, you're a year older.
Greg Jennings is not the answer.
No.
he's passed his
prime. No. So, yeah, Vikings are on the bottom of the barrel there.
Okay. So, there we go. That's where we were thinking on the Norski division. So, that brings us to the AFC South. They finished last year Texans, Colts, Titans, Jaguars, with the Texans and Colts making the playoffs.
This division, to me, doesn't change a lick.
Yeah, it's exactly the same. it really is. It's exactly the same.
The only difference, I mean, Houston's going to have a great regular season just because they're a quality team.
And Matt Schaub's a regular season quarterback.
Yeah. The only difference is I think the Colts are going to be like a 9-7, and the Titans and Jaguars are going to be worse than that.
Yeah.
You know, 6-10 for the Titans I think is accurate, and I think for the Jaguars maybe they'll win 3 games this year.
Yeah, I'd say that's almost exactly spot on.
To be honest with you, I mean, we all know who the Texans are. They're a quality team, and you don't want to face them in the regular season.
No.
But they're Matt Schaub.
Yeah.
They're as good as Matt Schaub is, and that's just not a Super Bowl team. That's not even an AFC Championship team.
Yeah, I mean, no more Chuck Strong in Indy.
No.
So I think they take a step back.
And they didn't...
I mean,
I don't think they surrounded
the coach
Andrew
is there,
Luck.
But the whole, like, Chuck Strong, you know...
I think Andrew Luck is going to be improved. But I don't think the team is going to play with that kind of heart and motivation like they did last year, get them through those games. I don't see where they even improved on defense and offense. So,
but they still end up second in that division.
Yep, because Tennessee and Jacksonville, they're not good teams.
They're just not.
I don't like Jake Locker. Matt Hasselbeck can only do so much with
the
mediocre team.
He's not even the backup there anymore. Guess where he's the backup now?
Oh, shit.
He's an Indy.
Oh, man. I forgot about it. Wow, how did I forget about that?
I forgot about it, too, for a while.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Either so they're even worse.
I don't even know who the backup is in Tennessee.
Damn.
Yeah, they're all in on Locker. Right. So
and Jaguars are Jaguars, you know. You got Caleb Haney, not Caleb Haney, Chad Henne.
Chad Henne.
And Blaine Gabbert face off at quarterback. Have fun down there in Jacksonville.
I put Chad Henne in, but Gus Bradley, I do like him. He was a great defensive coordinator. Mm-hmm. He has the kind of charisma that I think does translate to an NFL.
Yeah, that's why I picked him, you know, 3-13 rather than 2-14.
Right. But their talent level there is abysmal.
Oh, it's terrible.
Yeah. And their new uniforms are butt-fucking ugly.
Ugh.
Whoa. Yeah. I don't know who thought about those, but they need to have their head examined.
So that's it. We're not going to spend a lot of time in the AFC South.
Done, skis. NFC South.
This could go a lot of ways.
This is the way they finished last year. Falcons, Panthers, Saints, Bucks. This is easier for me to build from the bottom up in this division. And as I look at this, the bottom team in this division is clearly the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
I think so, too. I think Josh Freeman's way overrated. And I think people – well, actually, I think he'll be less overrated this year because people saw the last couple years what he does halfway through the season. That's completely meltdown and, you know, couldn't hit a bullseye that's 50 by 50 feet.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think we agree on the bottom there.
Mm-hmm. I think that coach, Shiano, I don't like him. He's one of those guys that he's just so intense that he burns people out in an instant. And it seemed to me that he lost that team halfway through the season last year. And when you do that in your first year, I don't know how you bring them back.
I don't either. And granted, they got Darrelle Revis, but, you know, he's Darrelle Revis down an ACL.
Exactly.
So, I mean, I know he's still going to be quality. He's still going to be good, especially when you see all these other freak of natures coming back from these ACL injuries. But he's also older now.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's an upgrade, sure, but at one position.
Yeah.
And I know they did some other offseason moves, but I still think they're the worst team in that division.
I do, too. And I like the muscle hamster. I think he's a great running back. I do. And I've come around on Vincent Jackson. I have. I thought he was a product of
Philip
Rivers.
Once he got away from Norv Turner, I think he's good, man.
I think it was the other way around. I think Philip Rivers might have been a little bit of a product of Vincent Jackson. And, and that's...
Well, we did see what Philip Rivers has done, but I can't count him out.
That's a bitter pill for me to swallow. I definitely was very down on Vincent Jackson for a long time. So, but
okay,
I still think that they're the last team in this division. And
so I think we know who's going to be first in this division also, right?
Are you New Orleans Saints?
Oh, you think so, huh?
I do.
Okay, tell me why.
Well, number one, and most importantly, and I think this can't be overstated. Like, there's no hyperbole that would.
Nice word.
Thank you, boy. That was tough to say.
It's tough to listen to.
I know. There's you couldn't overstate this. Sean Payton coming back.
Yep.
Is gigantic. And
thank God you didn't say ginormous. I was going to get pissed right here and now.
I know. You hate that word. Ugh. So, no. But it's gigantic, Jared, because when you don't have a fucking head coach for an entire season and still manage, you know, a 7-9 record, you're a pretty goddamn good team. I know that the marriage between Drew Brees and Sean Payton always produces huge numbers.
Mm-hmm.
Last year, you see what happens when one guy's taken away. He still has a good year, Drew Brees does, but picks are up, yards per attempts down, you know, just certain things like that. Sean Payton will fix that. I don't think they've downgraded on talent anywhere in the organization.
Okay.
I think the fact that Bounty Gate is finally over their head, like just gone, it's not over their head anymore. I think that's going to be huge. It's a rebirth for the New Orleans Saints.
So I have one question for you, and this kind of goes to hit on the reason I don't think they're going to win the division is, what did they do? Did they do anything different on defense in this offseason to make them better?
No, because they're not going to need to, because the offense is going to dictate the pace of the game with Sean Payton there. It was like when the Colts won the Super Bowl against the Bears that year. Their defense wasn't that great. In fact, it barely gelled together in the playoffs. But the point being was, you didn't need a great defense when you're dictating the whole entire pace of the game.
You didn't need a good defense then. Yeah. That's kind of the thing. I think
I'm just talking about winning this division, not winning a Super Bowl.
Okay. I don't think they have near the quality of talent that the Atlanta Falcons do. Now, I know the Falcons are not a Super Bowl contender. But I think when we played New Orleans last year, God, it was easy against their defense, man. You almost felt bad for them by the end of the game. Their defense is that putrid, and they didn't get better. And they have even more weaknesses now that they have been exposed than last year because it's the same defense. They haven't made any changes. So the defense that was exposed and completely run over last year is going to be even worse. And I think that Drew Brees can only get you so far, and Sean Payton can only get you so far. I think they're going to be with the Atlanta Falcons in their division, I don't think they have the quality of talent, especially on defense. I think Atlanta's defense is another year older because they were young last year, too, and I think they're another year better. And I think they're their offense better. Is still better. I think their defense is going
to
be better.
I think it's going to be worse. We'll get to the Falcons in a second.
All right, but I don't think that the Saints, and I actually feel pretty solid on this. I think the Saints are going to take second. But the Atlanta Falcons are such a great regular season team. I don't think they're going to lose more than four games in a regular season. They haven't been. And they were 13-3 last year. I don't think the Saints are going to win that division. Even if they beat the Atlanta Falcons, the Falcons are still going to win those games in the regular season and still win that division. They're just going to put up a high number of wins. That's all there is to it. It has nothing to do with the Saints maybe not putting up a bunch, but you're not going to put up as many as the Falcons at this point.
So you would pick the Falcons to come in first place in this division?
Oh, 100%. I think that's actually absolutely going to happen.
So we just talked about the Saints. You think they'd finish number two. I think number one. Okay. Let's talk about the Falcons then. Because, you know, you just kind of got into it a little bit and why you think their defense is going to be better. I think their defense is going to be worse. They lost Dunta Robinson, the corner. They lose John Abraham. They don't replace these
guys. But he was aging anyways. He was basically...
Still productive, though.
He was still productive, but I think you can kind of get that almost any player if you've groomed
them.
I think there's a reason they let him go.
Look, I think, to replace him with a less than league average guy? I just don't see it.
Maybe not.
I don't see it. I think their offense with Steven Jackson is not going to be a lick better. In fact, I agree with you
on the Steven Jackson thing. I think it'll be about the same. I think we talked about that before.
I think they lost players in Atlanta. Their defense as a whole isn't exactly young, so aging another year I don't think is a benefit for them.
But when
I think
you got Roddy White and Julio Jones.
Yeah, on offense.
And Tony Gonzalez. I think they're just as much as a potent as the New Orleans Saints offense at this point. Because they have a better running game.
I agree. I think their defenses are exactly the same. And I think that if you take their offenses, they probably rank out exactly the same. Except for the fact that I take Drew Brees' stones over Matt Ryan's every day of the week.
Oh, I take Drew Brees any day over Matt Ryan. Of course, I agree with you on that.
And that's why I pick the New Orleans Saints to be the first
team in
this division.
That would be a really nice romantic tale. But just given I really don't see a 7-9 team overtaking a solid 13-3 team.
A 7-9 team that didn't have a head coach.
I still don't see it happening. I don't think they're going to be better than 12-4, 13-3. There's no way.
They could easily be one of those two records, 13-3, 12-4.
Okay.
And the Atlanta Falcons could easily be 9-7, 10-5.
I disagree because they don't lose that many games in the regular season. I have no doubt that they're going to lose in the first or second round of the playoffs. The Atlanta Falcons are not a playoff-built team. But they are a team that's built to win the regular season. They've been doing it for years now.
I think they're beatable.
Well, of course they're beatable. And like I said, the Saints could beat them twice in the year, and the Saints still won't win that division just because of the amount of wins the Falcons are going to put up. I hate the fucking Falcons.
I know.
I hate the Dirty Bird. I'm glad we fucking wiped their own asses in it. I'm glad. I hate the Falcons.
Yeah. Okay.
But I still think that they're going to win that division.
Okay. All right. So those
that leads
are
us to Carolina.
Number three. I think Cam Newton does exactly what he did last year, which was good.
Even if he's a little better,
I don't think it makes a difference.
Much.
There's nothing else there.
Yeah.
There's nothing else there.
That's it.
I mean, Luke Kuechly, you bet. He's a good middle linebacker. What else you got?
Sure.
I love Captain Munnerlyn just for his name, but I don't think he's that good of a player.
No.
I don't see it.
I don't really see Carolina being a threat. They haven't been in the past, except for when John Fox was there.
Ron Rivera is not a good coach.
No. So, yeah, they're there. But I still think Cam Newton beats the Bucs.
I kind of do, too.
So that's why we both put the Bucs down there, because I think, you know, Carolina, they still have a little more talent than the Bucs do.
Yeah, exactly.
So, there's that.
All right.
Now what are we at?
Well, we'd be at the West...
The West teams, which we already talked about. The two best conferences in the NFL, as far as the teams that are going to win.
Maybe we'll just state our order again, Jared. So for you, AFC West goes in which order?
Let's see if I can even remember what I said last time. Might have even changed.
I remember what you said.
So the Broncos are clearly going to win this.
Mm-hmm.
Then it's going to be Kansas City, then San Diego, then Oakland.
That's what you said.
Okay.
Yeah.
But I think this year you could interchange Oakland and San Diego because there's such a change going on. But like I said before in that podcast, Oakland's doing a really good job in their offseason with their draft and everything, the way they're building it. And San Diego, they just hit this low plateau getting over the Norv Turner years.
Yep.
They could easily be last in this division.
Yeah, you could see that.
You could interchange them.
But I would say
Broncos, Kansas City, San Diego, Oakland.
Yeah, you had to pick one.
Yep.
So there you go.
What's yours?
Well, Hawks on top because we fucking kick ass, even with out Percy Harvin.
Oh, we agreed on this one too, didn't we?
Yeah, we did. Okay. Second place team, St. Louis Rams.
The Rams, big time.
Think they take a step up?
Yep.
Third place team, San Francisco 49ers mm-hmm. with Fuckernick.
I don't think it's going to be much between the Rams nope. and the 49ers, but I don't think it's going to be third. The Niners will finish third.
I don't think it's going to be much between the Niners and the Seahawks by the end of the year. I think those three teams are going to be grouped together very closely. Yep.
And then Carson Palmer's going to get you maybe 8-8 at best.
No. He gets you 7-9 at best. They finish 6-10.
We'll see. It depends on their schedule. I know we didn't look too much into that. But
I'm telling you straight up, there's no way.
No, Jared, you're wrong.
they're
no not way. A 500 football
there's
team.
There's no way that team finishes over 6-10.
That's fair, though.
So
6-10, official bold prediction of the Arizona Cardinals. 6-10.
So if you want a little more coverage on either of those, you can go back to episode 5, where we went into those very much in depth. But at this point, Jared, that's the state of the NFL. I think... there's only one more thing to say, and whether it's within John Elway or John Schneider,
in John we trust.